This morning is about our baptism preparation class. You find an insert in your bulletin about becoming a member or going through the celebration of baptism, and I encourage you to fill that out. And we have an information and preparation class scheduled for, I'm looking at the bottom of page 7 here, September the 21st at 9:30 here in the church. So please be aware of that. Also a reminder that if you did not pick up one of the information packets about our redevelopment journey, there are still packets on the little table in the entryway, and I'd encourage you to pick that up so that you are familiar with this process that we're going through and are aware of some of the important upcoming dates. I think that's all I really need to draw attention to, so I'm going to pray, and then we will continue in our learning together. Father God, thank you for this day and the privilege of being gathered. And we are thankful that we are able to lift up our voices, our hearts, our minds in worship and adoration this morning. I pray for our Sunday school ministry that you would bless the teacher and bless the students. And I pray that you would encourage and challenge us as we continue to look into your word. Speak to us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Dostoevsky's novel called The Brothers Karamazov, there is a wealthy woman who asks an elderly monk how she can know if God exists. He tells her, no explanation or argument can achieve this. Only the practice of active love. Well, she then confesses that sometimes she dreams about a life of loving service to others. At such times, she thinks that perhaps she will become a sister of mercy, live in holy poverty, and serve the poor in the humblest way. But then it crosses her mind how ungrateful some of the people she would serve are likely to be. They would probably complain that the soup wasn't served hot enough, or that the bread wasn't fresh enough, or that the bed was too hard. And she confesses that she couldn't bear such ingratitude, and so her dreams about serving others vanish. And once again, she finds herself wondering if there is a God. Now to this, the wise monk responds, love in practice is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams. Love in practice is a harsh and dreadful thing. Being devoted to one another in brotherly love, as Romans chapter 12, verse 10 commands us, is in fact a harsh and dreadful thing. It is often easier in our dreams than in our practice. You see, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love requires humility and effort and sacrifice. But it can be learned, it can be practiced, and I would suggest that it can be learned and practiced, especially in the context of a small community group, a small community life gathering. To love the world. I'm not sure how you think about that concept, but for me, to love the world seems like a very large and a rather frightening responsibility. Even to love the church family, you know, I'm sorry, guys, but to love all of you in the best way possible, it seems like a large and a daunting responsibility. But I'm quite convinced that we can move towards greater devotion and love to the world and to the church family by first learning and practicing devotion to one another in a smaller, a more intimate gathering of people. And it's for this reason that I have been encouraging you in two previous sermons, and this will be the last time I speak about it, but I want to encourage you to consider becoming a member of a small community life group, which would consist of anywhere from 3 to 15 people. Now, as I said in my last message on this topic, this kind of a group which I envision is not just a group that gathers together to study the Bible. And it's not just a group that gathers together to pray. It is a group that gathers together to actively encourage, to actively care for, to actively support and love one another. In this kind of a group, I envision that people will gather and they will wrestle with temptations and trials and doubts and pain and disappointment and loneliness and questions that life in general and the devil specifically heap upon us. I envision this as a group that gathers to learn and to pray. Yes. To read the Bible and to pray. Yes, absolutely. But also to be a group that gathers together to share and to listen and to help and to encourage and to, on occasion, confess and to forgive one another and to cry and to laugh and to celebrate and to grow together. Now, for this to happen, it requires personal humility. It requires effort. And it requires sacrifice. To be devoted to one another in brotherly love is not a thing of dreams, but of reality. And it is a reality that involves laying down our egos. It involves laying down our own quote-unquote rights. It involves the freeing up of our possessiveness, and it involves the sacrifice of our own personal space and our privacy. To be devoted to one another in brotherly love is no easy thing, but it is a necessary thing. Is it possible to have meaningful family connections? Is it possible to honestly share your life with others and deeply give and receive love and care? Is it possible to transform the atmosphere within a church family and the interactions between Christians to such an extent that the guest or the observer will declare, as Tertullian reported in the 2nd and 3rd century, that the pagans were declaring, "See how these Christians love one another." Is it possible to have that kind of a relationship and for those on the outside looking in to say, "My, how those Christians love one another"? Is it possible to replace angry outbursts or to supplant poisonous gossip or to erase unfounded criticisms or to excise miserliness? Is it possible to overcome lack of care and concern for both the family and for the enemy? In response to Jesus' comment in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Is this reality a possibility? Yes, it is. And we need to thank God that this is a possibility. But let's not fool ourselves. It will not be easy. In a small community group, however, we can learn and we can practice being devoted to one another in brotherly love. And as we do this, we can absolutely change the atmosphere and the interactions experienced in the church and out in the neighborhood and in the city. In Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul commands us to be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God, through his word, never gives us meaningless or unachievable commands. When he says, be devoted to one another, when he says, love one another, when he says, be imitators of God, when he says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, what is he saying? He is saying that it is possible and it is expected that we will be devoted to one another. That we will love one another, that we will be imitators of God, and we will live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So then the question is rather clear, and we have to wrestle with this question. Are we doing this? Are we doing what we are commanded to do? Where? How? Consistently? Again, I am suggesting that the best place to learn and to practice this is first and foremost in a small community life group environment. Now, here's a question. Do you know how you are supposed to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. The community life group can provide a smaller, more manageable, and meaningful opportunity to obey and embed God's commands into our lives, out of which will grow our ability to live out God's commands in this larger context that we call the Oak Ridge Baptist Church family, and in the larger contexts of our neighborhoods in which we live and we work and we play. We need to begin small and grow from there. Within the smaller community life group can be identified some what I think are necessary commitments or promises or covenants that we must make if we are going to become a group that grows in the experience of being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, I have presented these covenants or these promises in other contexts. So if you've been in the leadership development or the leadership enrichment training courses, this was all going to ring a bell for you. But I think it's valuable for all of us to quickly review it. These covenants are necessary in any kind of a group context, regardless of sort of the organizational context or whatever. It's very important that you have these kinds of commitments to one another if you ever hope to strengthen your relationship with one another, if you ever hope to bring about greater unity and a deeper sense of care and love for one another. These covenants, which I'm going to give to you, are not presented in order of priority, but they should be understood collectively as really the foundational agreements that people must practice in the context of a small community group if they are really going to be devoted to one another in brotherly love and benefit from the giving and the receiving of that love and that care. So, some covenants or some promises. There is the covenant of affirmation, whereby you say to those in your group, I will love you and affirm you no matter what you have said or done. I love you as you are and for what Jesus wants to make of you. The covenant of affirmation. There is also the covenant of availability, wherein you say to the members of your group, you say, anything that I have, my time, my energy, my wisdom, myself, are all at your disposal. I give these to you in a sacrificial way. Then there is the covenant of openness. I will show myself to you, letting you know who I am as a person in feeling, in history, in hopes, and in hurts. No hiding. Openness. The next covenant is the covenant of honesty. I will be honest in mirroring back to you what I sense and feel coming from you. Speaking the truth. Not flattering. Not deceiving. Speaking the truth. Next one is the covenant of prayer. I promise to pray for you, to uphold you, and to attempt to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit concerning your needs. I promise to pray. Not only will I say that I will pray, I will actually pray. Next covenant is the covenant of confidentiality. I've never seen the movie, Whatever Happens in Vegas Stays in Vegas, but that's a pretty common saying these days. Don't use that in the small group context, but whatever goes on in this group does stay in this group, okay? I will say nothing that may be traced back or could be injurious or embarrassing to my group members. To be devoted to one another in brotherly love requires confidentiality. The next covenant is the covenant of accountability. With this, you say to the members of your group, you have the right to expect growth from me, just as I will expect growth from you. And together, we will fulfill God's plans for our lives. Together, we are going to become more and more conformed to the image, to the likeness, to the character, to the behavior of Jesus himself. We're going to expect this of one another. We're going to help one another to move towards this. And then the next one is the covenant of regularity. I will give a regular part of my time to this group when it decides to meet. I consider this group to be a high priority on my schedule. Now, I imagine within the context of any given group, you could come up with other agreements or covenants or promises to one another. But I think these are some of the foundational, the fundamental, the most necessary agreements you must make if you truly want to be devoted to one another and to give and to receive meaningful care. Now, when you think about these, do you understand, do you see how much easier it is to give lip service or to dream about being devoted to one another in brotherly love? It's so much easier to think about it or to dream about it because true love in practice is harsh and demanding. Now, do you recall how Jesus framed it? He said in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." That he lay down his life for his friends. Now, the sacrifice of laying down our lives for one another, literally, but more often figuratively, by making and living out difficult and daring covenants like the ones I've suggested, is necessary so that we can experience the giving and the receiving of the most precious care and support we could ever dream of. And so that we will reveal to the world that Jesus is who he says he is, and that Jesus can do what he says he can do, and that Jesus offers a life that is satisfying and abundant and eternal. I wonder if this is the kind of reality you would like to experience. Again, if you reflect upon Jesus himself, you will see that he needed and he valued his small group relationships, just as I hope you understand your need and you have that desire to value such a thing. Think of Jesus. He had his best friend, John. And then he had Peter, James, and John. And then he had the 12. And then he had the 70. He knew the value of being connected to smaller groups of people who would be devoted to one another. We need to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And this will not happen quickly. It will not happen easily, but it can be nurtured and it can be experienced in increasing ways if we can start in a small community life group. Who doesn't need or appreciate an encouraging word? Who doesn't need or appreciate empathy? Who doesn't need or appreciate friendship? Who doesn't need or appreciate a good pat on the back? Who doesn't need or appreciate the occasional word of advice or correction that prevents more disappointment or pain? Who doesn't appreciate prayer support or being forgiven or being understood? Who doesn't need and appreciate some practical help? Who doesn't need or appreciate trustworthy friends with whom you can be your honest self and cry and laugh and mourn and rejoice together? Now, if you don't need any of these things, then I suppose you really don't need a small community life group experience. Maybe you don't even need the church family. Maybe you don't even need Jesus. Maybe you think that you can just kind of grind it out, or you can kind of just wing it and survive on your own. If that's your attitude, if that's your belief, then I wish you all the best. But for the rest of us. I'm sure that when we reflect for a few moments, we will quickly admit both our need and our desire for the kinds of relationships that will bring us help, courage, and encouragement. What I want to encourage you to do is to give some consideration to being a part of a small community life group. Maybe you're already a part of one, so this message you've already put into practice. But for many of you, would you think seriously about this opportunity to be truly devoted to another group of people, to commit yourself to giving love and care and to receiving the same back? If you want to follow up on that, there's the bulletin insert. There's a form there that you can look at and you can fill out. And my challenge to all of us is to enter into the harsh and dreadful, but the so satisfying and joyful responsibility of being devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's how Christ expects us to relate to one another. Let's try and make it happen. Let's pray. First of all, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the example that you have set for us while you lived in this world, how you connected with small, intimate groups of people, investing your life in them, and receiving from them in return. I thank you for the work that you're doing in our church family. And you have been good and you have been gracious to us down through the years. And I pray that you would help us to press on, to press forward, to grow in our ability to love one another, to be devoted to one another, even if necessary to the point of giving up our lives for one another. And speak to us about this opportunity to be involved in smaller groups where we can grow and learn and support one another. Guide us in our thinking, in our planning, and help us to make good decisions about participating in these groups. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.